one is by Jeff Meir. And he works, he's a global health policy and development special advisor with the Public Health Institute. He is here representing the AGALI program with Denise Dunnings. I'll let him take it away.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
Thank you very much, and I really appreciate that introduction, and I'm delighted to be here to represent the Adolescent Girls Advocacy and Leadership Initiative, which is one of the Public Health Institute's proudest accomplishments. So I'm here, as our moderator said, on behalf of my colleagues at AGALI, namely Denise Dunning, some of you may know. I think probably everybody in this room is aware of the issues that adolescent girls around the world face. I thought it would be useful for us to just go over a couple of those before we get into the details of what AGALI tries to accomplish. There are roughly 750 million adolescent girls in the world who represent one of the most marginalized populations. In addition to high rates of HIV and maternal mortality, early marriage is a significant problem for girls in many countries where we all work. I think you all know that girls as young as 9 years old are often married to much older men and are exposed to limited educational opportunities, early childbearing, and violence. Despite this, unfortunately, only 2 cents of every international development dollar goes into programs for girls. While the challenges facing girls are large, we know that the benefits of investing in girls are equally large. We know that a girl who has 7 years of education tends to marry 4 years later than another girl and has 2.2 fewer children. The impact goes beyond the girl herself and has a generational effect, since educated women are more likely to send their own children to school, and conversely, children of uneducated mothers are only half as likely to attend primary school as those whose mothers are educated. Now I want to give a little bit of background about AGALI itself. It's implemented, as I said, by the Public Health Institute, which is based in Oakland, California, and has been working to improve health outcomes globally and nationally for 45 years. We work in partnership with the United Nations Foundation and with the support of the West Wind and the Compton Foundations. Our primary focus countries are in, you can see the list up there, both Africa and Latin America. And they coincide with the UN Interagency Task Force on Adolescent Girls Priorities Countries. The goal of the program is to strengthen civil society capacity to advocate for policies, programs, and funding that support the need of adolescent girls. We support advocacy to improve girls' education, livelihoods, health, human rights, and empowering them to advocate for themselves. We're working to build a multi-sectoral movement of leaders and organizations advocating for girls, so we cast a broad net when we recruit our fellows. We bring together leaders from a wide range of sectors that work to improve girls' lives. Our fellows are generally already leaders in their countries who have years of experience working with and for girls. Directors of nonprofits, policymakers, advocates who work in direct service, media, and social change. We also bring in a few public figures. For example, the woman who's pointing in the lower left photo is an Ethiopian rock star. We didn't actually recruit her, but she was really interested in learning more about the challenges facing girls, and she approached us, so we were delighted to have added her as a fellow. So we have five principal features of our program, and I'm going to discuss each one of them in a little bit of detail. The first is capacity building. We do an intensive week-long capacity building workshop. Uses an experiential model, so instead of sitting through a lecture like this, the fellows build from their own extensive experience working on girls' issues, and they find generally that they learn more from each other than they do from us. But during the training, we start by reviewing the legal and policy frameworks in each country, focusing on existing laws and policies and how they affect girls. I brought, by the way, in the back some handouts, one of which is an example of a policy review that we just recently completed in Malawi. So that is a good example of, you know, what we give them as background. We also conduct an intensive SWOT process. If you're not familiar with SWOT, it stands for Strengths, Weaknesses, Opportunities, and Threats. A political mapping and an in-depth understanding of the steps involved in advocacy. We find that a lot of our fellows are expert in direct work with girls but have less experience dealing with advocacy, so we really stress that. During the second half of the training, each one develops an individual advocacy strategy, and the fellows think about specific skills and strengths that they have and how they fit with the policy needs. By the time they finish, each fellow has completed a strategy to advocate. So the second aspect is seed grant funding, and we share with fellows an RFP, a request for proposals, for the grant selection process we run, and then they return to their organizations, and they work with key staff and board members to make sure the institution is fully on board with the advocacy plan that's developed. We give them technical assistance to adapt their strategies into full proposals, which they submit to a review committee that we run. And after reviewing the proposals, we select the most compelling strategies and award seed grants to support the first year of implementation. For the organizations that don't get EGALI funds, we help them to develop relationships with other funders to solicit support. To date, we've funded a total of 22 advocacy strategies in the five focus countries, and I'll tell you a little bit more about their achievements in a minute, but to give you a sense, they're all over the map in terms of what they're trying to work on. In Malawi, some fellows are working together to advocate to increase the legal age of marriage to 18. In Liberia, they've advocated for the passing of a national children's law to guarantee a broad range of protections, including in the health services, and violence prevention areas. In Ethiopia, our fellow is advocating for increased budgets for sexual and reproductive health services for girls. And in Guatemala and Honduras, fellows focus on policies to ensure girls' sexual and reproductive health, protect girl workers in the maquila sweatshops, and ensure girls' democratic participation in budget advocacy. So, in addition to providing technical assistance during proposal development, we also provide technical assistance, support, and funding during the implementation of the advocacy strategies. So, this should help navigate any unexpected challenges that the fellows and their organizations encounter. We offer technical assistance directly to fellows in project and proposal development, networking, fundraising, and several other areas. So I mentioned earlier the policy briefs that we do. These are tailored, obviously, to each country. And this is, this is the Malawi one I mentioned. During the second year of working in Malawi, we learned, for example, that very few people, even government policymakers, know the laws and policies that affect girls. So the information is not widely accessible and is certainly not easy to understand. So we were able to find copies of the relevant laws and policies and have developed policy briefs that we give to our fellows and help them disseminate. Here is the same document in the local language. This is a language called Chichewa, which is the majority language in Malawi, and we find that this particular brief has been a tremendous asset to help policymakers themselves understand how the policies they already have on the books affect girls, and to give a resource that our advocates can use to work to develop relationships with partners at the grassroots level. So in addition to the intensive one-week Agali workshop, we also have individual institutional strengthening workshops for our alumni and key staff in their organizations. These are two-day workshops that bring the fellows' networks together in each country, give them opportunity for lessons learned, sharing, and to think about new opportunities for collaboration. We invite, as I said, key staff from the organizations. They take place every 6 months and respond to the needs that the fellows tell us about. Our approach is knowledge acquisition and application so far. For example, the picture on the right is of a recent institutional strengthening workshop in Guatemala that focused on media advocacy. During the first day, the fellows learned about media advocacy and how to use this strategy, and during the second day, they conducted their own press conference. Another big focus of our work is budget advocacy, so ensuring that girls' programs receive resources. To that end, we will soon be doing institutional workshops in both Malawi and Guatemala to strengthen the fellows' capacity to advocate for increased budgets. And then the final principle is dissemination, which we do in a fairly structured way. Our fellows are already pretty LinkedIn people, so when they graduate, they really find that they're expert in policies and programs that affect girls. We give them funding to conduct their own training and outreach programs, and they themselves then conduct 1 to 2 day workshops for other grassroots organizations in their countries to create their own networks. They always, of course, include young girls themselves in these trainings. So to sum up the main components of our work, and I apologize, this slide is not all that legible. Each of our main strategies is in the blue box at the top of the screen, and I have a handout in the back that you shouldn't try and write all these down, but grab one of the handouts in the back. So reading across its advocacy training workshops, outreach with adolescent girls, technical assistance and coaching, dissemination, seed grants, and institutional strengthening workshops. The upside-down triangle shows the results that we're holding ourselves accountable for, and the bottom line in orange shows the longer-term outcomes we're working toward, including focuses on Millennium Development Goals 2, 3, and 5, improved health, economic, and educational outcomes. So we started this work 3 years ago. Denise and her colleagues have been at this for some time. And we feel that we've made significant impact at a couple of levels. Policy frameworks, strengthening civil society, building individual and institutional advocacy capacity, and of course, directly reaching the girls. Agali has also built a global network of leaders who advocate for girls. Programs have so far reached about 10,000 girls with services, training, and leadership development. So here are a couple of concrete examples. We have spent roughly $200,000 on advocacy projects that increase girls' access to education and livelihoods, promote girls' democratic participation, reduce sexual violence in early marriage, and now for the specific achievements, the passing of 2 ballot initiatives, establishing the National Day for Teen Pregnancy and Prevention, and expansion of teen pregnancy prevention programs, development and dissemination of a Ministry of Health protocol to prevent teen pregnancy and increase birth spacing in young mothers, development of a regional coalition of 42 governmental and non-governmental partners, including two municipal assemblies of adolescents, to create and conduct a policy-oriented needs assessment, the creation of a nationwide sexual violence protocol, ensuring specialized attention to adolescent girl survivors of sexual violence at hospitals and clinics, and budgetary assignment for municipal health and education programs targeting indigenous adolescent girls. I also mentioned that we have created advocacy coalitions, and two are in Malawi and Honduras. So in addition to the concrete policy wins, our fellows in both countries have taken the initiative to create their own national networks, which are conducting joint advocacy on behalf of adolescent girls. It started when our Malawi fellows heard from the Liberians about their National Adolescent Girls Working Group and got really excited about the idea of creating a network that could collaborate on advocacy. So they came together and created AGANET, which brings them, the organizations and other civil society players together. AGANET has a few focus areas, which include budget advocacy, age of marriage, reduction of harmful traditional practices. And in Honduras, the fellows came together to create a coalition advocating for effective implementation of the Regional Ministerial Declaration for Comprehensive Sexuality Education and Services for Youth. I'm afraid I don't know that much about that initiative, so if you have questions about it, I can refer them to Denise. Although this regional advocacy campaign is focused on youth, the AGALI Coalition is working to ensure that the implementation directly benefits girls. In both countries, our fellows recognized that there was a vacuum of this type of joint advocacy and applied to the program for funding to support strategic planning, which helped create these two networks. We provided each national coalition with $20,000 to launch their efforts. So in conclusion, there's a lot more that I could share about the AGALI program, but I know that we have some really fine panelists who are going to present on some other terrific adolescent girls programs, so I think I'll leave it there. The website is available, and of course I'll remain behind to answer any questions. So.
Thank you.